Okay, Colossians 1 and Micah 3. Colossians 1 and Micah 3. Basically, we're going to run through the Bible definition of three words: authority, power, and might, and then actually apply them close to the end. So it's like you got to lay down the rules for about 30 minutes or 35 minutes, and then actually let's apply the rules after that. So it's about like all the preparation they do for drag racing, and then a race only lasts, what, 5 seconds? Okay, and so that's kind of what it's going to be like. Not that we're going to hurry at the end, but still the idea, that's where it's idea here. Colossians 1, verse 9 to 17 is a parallel prayer with one that's found in Ephesians 1. And it's a prayer that Paul was basically giving us an outline for prayer. Verse 9, it says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might." Notice the word might. Okay, "according to his glorious power." Two different words, might and power. "Unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Okay, so there's what he's praying for, that you and I have might and power. Okay, now let's go to Micah chapter 3, and we'll see that this fellow, Micah, had the same thing. So he was performing what God wanted him to do under might and power, two separate things. Micah 3, verse 8, "But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might, to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. Hear this, I pray you, ye heads of the house of Jacob and princes of the house of Israel that abhor judgment and pervert all equity. They build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, Is it not the Lord? Is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountains of the house as the high places of the forest." Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to understand this, these words in this Bible, help us to be clear of them. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to know how we should apply these personally to our own lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're not going to have an invitation at the end because it's more or less running through these words. In Proverbs, you have three words that are quite often used: knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Okay, you'll see that all through Proverbs. Okay, in the Colossians, he mentioned the word power, and he mentioned the word might. Okay, there's another word we want to throw in this mix, and that's the word authority. Okay, authority, power, and might. In the Micah passage, you can see that Micah is publicly under the power of the Spirit in verse 8, and that power of the Spirit is being demonstrated through might. Might would be similar to our word influence, okay, where you have influence with people. Okay, and what he's doing in Micah 3, you can see what's going on there. He is using the power of the Word of God to reveal the sins of the people of Israel publicly. He's doing this publicly. And he is aiming his words at the leaders of Israel. In verse 9, you see the heads of the house of Jacob, the princes. So there's the bureaucrats. So what he's doing is he's standing in the general area where the bureaucracy will be focused, usually around a courthouse, okay, like what we have in our culture. And so he's standing around the courthouse, at a specific time when the people inside the court will have to hear him say something. And of course, they're not real happy about what he's going to say. So a couple weeks back, I just kind of felt led to go down to our courthouse about 3:45. And because I know they walk out of there at 4 o'clock, so I was down there at 3:45 and stayed till about 4:30. So I got to preach to a couple judges as they drove by, and a sheriff, you know, and a prosecutor and all this stuff, you know. And so what was I telling them? The love of God? No, I said, the Bible says, defraud not. So thou shalt not steal. That's what I was saying, because that's where our legalized theft is taking place. Okay, and the same thing is going on here. If you've ever been in court, you will see the injustices that are taking place in court. Unbelievable. Okay, and in Micah 3, verse 8, 9, you see that they've perverted equity, equality, unfairness. And then he's telling these people, you are building the city through the blood, sweat, and tears of people. Okay, and then verse 11, he said, you judges are taking bribes, and you priests and your prophets, you're taking money. And then you turn around and say, God's with us, we're not going to be hurt. And he says, I'm telling you, there's a plow coming through, and you're going to get plowed under. Okay, now that's Micah. But notice the two words that are in verse 8 is the words power and the word might. Okay, and so we're going to throw in another word in there, authority. If you would, look in Esther chapter 9. So we're going to look at three words, go through the Bible definition of these three words, and in the last 10 minutes, hopefully apply this. If we read all the references that I've gotten written down here, we might get done, you know, about 4 o'clock. So I'm going to just cite some references. Okay, the word authority. The way you get a Bible definition is you look at the word in the Bible. Generally, there's a rule as far as definitions go. The first time you find that word in the Bible, it will generally follow that definition throughout the Bible. But there will be times where you'll have a secondary definition or a third definition, as many English words do. Some English words even have opposite definitions. The word cleave in a household means husband and wife stick together. The word cleave, with your cutting the meat apart, you're separating. Okay, now the word authority. Esther chapter 9, verse 29 is the first occurrence of the word authority in the Bible. Esther 9, verse 29, and it's a reference to a fellow named Mordecai, who was given the king's ring, and this guy was to write a law and then seal it with the king's ring. Esther 9, verse 29. Here, I'm in Ezra. I got to back up here. The other E one. And it says, then Esther the queen, the daughter of Abihail, and Mordecai the Jew wrote with all authority. Okay, to confirm his second letter of Purim and so forth. Okay, what's authority? In this context, authority is the right to establish law. Okay, that's what authority. It's the right to establish law, or shall we say to make rules. Okay, like in a house, the father's the head of the household. He has the right to make rules in his house. Okay, you may agree or disagree with the rule, but that's his right. Okay, so in this context, Mordecai is the second guy in command, and he has the right to write these laws. Okay, if you would, look in Proverbs 29, verse 2, the second occurrence of the word authority. And of course, when you look at Bible words like this, you say, man, that takes a lot of time to find out the words of the Bible. Yeah, it does. But this is what you got to do. If you're going to get the Bible definition, a lot of times people will read a Bible word and they just go and think, well, I know what that means. You know, and they don't even know what it means. They're going with their own personal definition. Proverbs 29:2, you'll see it's used in the same fashion. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked bear rule, you see the authorities with the rulers, the people mourn. So again, we see it's the same definition. Now, if you run that throughout the Bible, you're going to find that that is the primary definition for authority. It means it is the person or it is the right to establish laws. That's where the authority comes in. You'll see in Matthew chapter 20 that Jesus Christ, that the Gentiles exercise authority over the people. That's how Gentiles like to run governments, is they exercise authority over people. In Matthew chapter 8, there was a centurion asking the Lord about healing. And remember, the centurion said that I am a man under authority. I say to this man, go, and he goeth, to this man, come, and he cometh. And that commanding officer knew that Jesus Christ was in the position of authority, and he knew that Jesus Christ could say, disease, leave, and it would leave. And then he said, Jesus said about that fellow, you will have great faith. Okay, remember the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8. It says that he was a man of great authority. Okay, so he was in a political position. He had great authority. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 2, it tells you and I, we are to pray for them who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Okay, authority is the right to establish the law. Okay, now if you would look in Jesus Christ in John chapter 7, verse 20, or Matthew chapter 7, verse 28, now, when you speak the words of God, you can speak with authority, and you are speaking with authority when you're quoting from an authorized version. That's where the authority comes from. Matthew 7, 28, it says, here's what the people concluded after they heard this message. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Okay, so here you can see the authority is whenever you quote something that comes from the authority figure. Okay, authority is the right to establish the laws. God has the authority. He has the right. He wrote a Bible. When you quote this Bible, you are speaking with authority. Okay, and that's what Jesus Christ was doing, speaking with authority. And that's why in Titus 2, verse 15, to the preachers it says that you are to rebuke with all authority. Okay, so there's where the authority comes from. Now let's jump to the word power. If you would, look in 1 Corinthians 15. Okay, so again, the Bible definition is authority is the right to establish the law. Power is a little bit different. We have police officers used to be called peace officers. That's what they used to be called. Now they're called law enforcement. So a police officer has authority, but he doesn't have power. But you see, now with the idea of law enforcement, now they think, I've got the power. Okay, and so they are misusing that power when they're supposed to stay with authority. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24. It says, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. When he, Jesus Christ, shall have put down all rule and all authority. Notice those two follow the same definition through the Bible. And then he says, authority and power. So we have something different here. Okay, we have something different. Where Jesus Christ, when he was a man on earth preaching, he had all authority and he had all power, but he did not exercise his power in many cases. I mean, when he was going through Calvary, he had the power to kill everybody and everything that was a part of it, but he put aside that power. Okay, and so we'll see that Jesus Christ does these things as well as you and I should do these things. Now, then he turned around and he gave his disciples authority, and then he says, and power over unclean spirits. So you and I have the authority and power against unclean spirits, and that power is coming through Jesus Christ, where spirits are subject to you and I. See, we have the authority and power. Now, he also gave those disciples authority and power over unclean spirits and to cure diseases. Now, I know you don't got that power, and I don't have that power. Why? That's a Jewish thing. That's a sign. But we do have power and authority over unclean spirits. Now, what's the difference? Okay, if a police officer's in an intersection, he has the authority to direct traffic. He does not have the power to do it. Now, if he thinks, now I'm a law enforcement, so I have the power, I would like to see one of these, you know, rookie cops that thinks he's a Rambo type. I'd like to see him get on a street corner and exercise his power of controlling traffic, especially when an 18-wheeler's coming through. And as he puts up his hand, he has the authority to put up his hand to stop the 18-wheeler. But if that guy don't see him, he's going to quickly learn he don't have the power. He's going to become a bug on the grill. Okay, now the Lord Jesus Christ has the authority and the power. If he had his hand up to stop the 18-wheeler and a guy didn't see him, the 18-wheeler would come to the hand and then it would become like an accordion. That's authority and power. You see, Jesus Christ had authority and power. You and I have authority. We have a limited power when we yield to the Spirit of God. And a person must understand the differences between these things. This helps greatly when you are dealing with relationships between family. A lot of times the fussing between family members is because they don't understand the differences between authority, power, and the word. The third word we're going to go with in the word might, a word we use for that is influence. Okay, now let's look at the word power. Genesis 31, verse 6. Genesis 31, verse 6. Okay, authority is the right to establish law. Power is the ability to enforce the law. Okay, enforce the law or perform a task. Genesis 31, verse 6 is the very first occurrence of the word power in the Bible. And this is Jacob talking about himself. He's talking to his wives, Rachel and Leah. And he said to them, "Ye know that with all my power I have served your father." Okay, that is your individual power that you have over your body. See, my brain has authority to tell my finger, and my finger I said exercise. Okay, let's do our exercises. So we do our finger exercises. See, I have the power to do that. Okay, you have the power, you know, to do what you want to tell your body to do. Now, a lot of times your body ain't going to want to do some things, but you got the power to tell it to do it. Okay, now that's the first definition of the word in the Bible. It's the ability to enforce a law. Your mind has the power and authority to tell your body to do what you want it to do. Now, there's another definition of power shortly, the next chapter, Genesis 32, verse 28. Genesis 32, 28, and it says here, "And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hath thou power with God and with man, and hast prevailed." Now, this is not a power that Jacob has over God, meaning, I expect you to do this, and you're going to do it. And I'm going to tell you to do it, and you're going to do it, and if you don't do it, I'm going to make you do it. No, he ain't going to do it. It's not that kind of power. This is a power of influence. Okay, a power of influence is similar to the word might. You have might. You have power and might. You have influence with people. Ephesians 6, verse 10 says, "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his," the word's might. There is a close relationship between those two words. Absolute power that God has, he demonstrated in Exodus 9 with the plagues over Pharaoh. Absolute power that God has is when he will say to that sinner, "Depart from me, ye cursed, in everlasting fire." prepare for that. He has the power to do that. Okay, you and I don't have that power. Absolute power is when that God, Jesus Christ, is going to come back and establish his kingdom contrary to the will of the Antichrist. Absolute power. Okay, that's the power God has. The power God has is to speak this world into existence. Okay, that's the power. He has power over unclean spirits. He commands them to go, and they go. That power, some of that power has been transferred to you and I as a result of new birth. The power of the virgin birth, where it says the power of the highest came on Mary, and God conceived seed through Mary, okay, without a man involved. That's power. That's the power of God. Now, some of this power he delegates to you and I, where now you and I have power to get wealth. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 8. But where do we get that from? We got that power from him, and he can take it from us anytime he wishes. Okay, so that power. Then you have Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, you got power. When you tell people the gospel of Jesus Christ, you have a power there, but your power is limited because we can't force it on somebody. That's where we got to go to our might. What is might? Might is the ability to encourage voluntary obedience to the law. Okay, a tyrant is somebody who forces people to obey the law. A leader is somebody who creates a desire in the hearts of the followers to obey the law. That's the difference. Tyrants and dictators tend to be assassinated because people don't like to be told to do something against their will. A leader will take the same thing, get the same action, but he will do it in a fashion where he creates desire in the heart of the follower, saying, now that's a good idea, I'm going to do that. That's what a leader does, and that's what we need to do with might. Okay, if you would, in your Bible, look in Isaiah 11, verse 2. When you understand these differences, then you can be an effective witness for Jesus Christ, even amongst your own family. When you understand the differences between authority, power, and the word might. Now, the word might in this context is where I'm going to be using it, is a power of influence. Yes, the word power is associated with it, but you have a limited power. Isaiah 11, verse 2, verse 1, you can see it's a reference to Jesus Christ. You got capital B there for branch. Jesus Christ is one who's completely filled with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is referred to as the seven spirits of God in Revelation. Isaiah 11, verse 1, gives you the sevenfold attributes of the Spirit of God, what you and I can be a participant of when we yield to the Spirit of God, becoming a fruitful Christian. Verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord, that's 1, shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, 2, and understanding, 3. The Spirit of counsel and might, 4, 5, the Spirit of knowledge, 6, and of the fear of the Lord, 7. But notice, the Spirit of counsel and might. Notice the word, counsel and might. Ephesians said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. God has the ability and the power to force everybody in this world to accept his son. He's got that power. He refuses to use that power. He utilizes his might of influence to tell people about his son, wanting them to voluntarily choose him. That's the same way you and I are to perform his work. The power, the might is the ability to encourage others to voluntarily obey the law. Authority is the right to establish the law. Power is the ability to enforce the law. Might is the ability to encourage obedience to the law voluntarily. This is what Paul was praying for over in Colossians 1 when we read that. And we'll go back to it towards the end. Now, Proverbs 18:21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Okay, now, what kind of power is he talking about there? Maybe you got a tongue like a cow and you can beat somebody to death with it. I don't know. Okay? It's like the one gossip said to a pastor, I want to lay my tongue on the altar. And he says, I don't think it's big enough. You know, and all that stuff. Okay, what does that mean? That death and life is in the power of the tongue. Obviously, it's referring to the power of influence that we have with our tongue. Okay? And then you run, man, in Ecclesiastes, it says that where the word of the king is, there is power. So when you quote the authorized words of God, your tongue has power of influence. Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees, ye do err not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. So when we quote the scriptures, there's power there, but yet our power is limited. So it's a reference to our power of his might, in that it is a might of encouragement to try to get them to do the right thing because they are thoroughly convinced it's right. Paul said that he's delivered the word of God through power, not only in word only, but also in power. That's the power of his might. 2 Timothy 1 says, we are not under the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Again, this is the power of his might, meaning you should be able to know this Bible well enough. You should know a truth well enough that when you give that truth to others, they are convinced that that is absolute true and that they should obey what's being said. That's might. If you would look in Titus chapter 2, this is what he's referring to in Titus 2. When you understand this, you understand your limitations, that you cannot cross certain laws of life. Titus 2, verse 9, it says, that you may hold fast to the faithful word as he's been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. The word of God is doing the convincing. Titus 2, verse 1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Titus 2, verse 8, sound speech that cannot be condemned. Titus 2, 15, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Now, a lot of times a guy will say, well, I'm speaking with authority because I'm yelling and screaming and I'm forcing my will. That's not what authority is. You can speak with authority in a gentle fashion. How do I know that? Keep reading. Titus 3, verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. You can speak with authority, verse 15, with a gentle and a meek spirit. And in fact, when you do it that way, it is amazing to see how that works, because that shows the power of the Word of God. And it's the power of his might. Might is the ability to encourage voluntary obedience to the law. Okay, now we got these three definitions: authority, power, and might. Might, again, similar to our word of influence, it is a powerful influence where you can counsel somebody, like Isaiah said, counsel and might. You can counsel somebody, but your counsel has influence behind it. The power of his might. Okay, let's take this into a church structure. A lot of times you hear Baptist guys seem to be known for this. I have pastoral authority. Oh, thanks for telling me to know that. Okay, and so a lot of these guys, this authority is, they confuse it with the word power. And if somebody doesn't fulfill their little wishes, they'll use their authority behind the pulpit and preach this person out of the church. That's my authority. No, that's your ignorance, you see. A pastor has authority in that when a church does ask a man to be their pastor, they have voluntarily released some of their authority to him, and I have the authority to preach and teach this book. I don't have the authority to come to your house and tell you what to do. Okay? That's where my power is limited. What do I have to utilize there? Might. Authority and might. Power is limited. I cannot enforce that. Now, if a church has, like in this place, we have people who are paid by the church under my authority, That's where I have authority, power. I have power and might. Now, I don't use the power much. I'd rather have the might. Now, I got, you know, such a, you know, in Philippians, you know, I just, you know, have such a blessing working with him. But I have the power in that if I can fire him. That's power. But, you know, why would I want to do that when you got something like that? Okay, now here we have Flip and Donna. You know, Donna, as far as, you know, cleaning the church, there's something where I have power, might, and authority. Now, you, the deacons and the volunteers, everybody else, no, all I have is authority and might. That's all I got. Now, a lot of preachers think I got the power. Stick it in your ear, pal. That's an insecure person. Very insecure. And they're going to push their weight in often to get their way. And that's somebody that doesn't understand authority, doesn't understand might, doesn't understand power. Now, let's take this into a home. Okay, the head of the household, the husband. He has authority. He's got might. But he's got limited power. I mean, he can't beat her up to make her do the right thing. Oh, yes, he could. But he's going to get beat up by somebody else along the way somewhere. So if he's a wise husband, he's going to have authority and he's going to utilize might. What's that? Know the truth, know what it is, put himself in a position where he can give the truth out, power of influence to his spouse, his wife, so that she voluntarily obeys the authority. Power and authority, the might is limited. Parents over small children, what do you have? Parents over small children, you have authority and power. You say, what about might? You're not going to reason with a two-year-old. You think you're going to reason? Now, I'm telling you, now when you take that toy and hit them with that toy, you know, that is not a Christian thing to do. And, you know, it's not, if you look down in the wrong, if you look long-term, when you become, you know, an owner of a business and you hit them with your toy at two, they're not going to come to you because you hit them. Cut it out. They don't understand it. You have to utilize power. What do? You take the toy and hit them on the head. You see? You use this toy and hit them. Did you like? You thought that was good. They didn't like that. Okay, let's try it. And then they start crying. See, how did you like that? That's power. Okay? They understand that. Okay? Now, what a parent of a small child, you have authority and power, gradually it shifts to authority and might. Why? Well, you say, I'm bigger than him, I can whoop, you know, 50. Yeah, you might, but what if he gets bigger than you? And he don't have to get bigger than you, he can just get an equalizer. You know, big stick. You got to sleep sometime. And so it's like the one guy in divorce court, he says, you know, I sleep with a knife under my bed, and she sleeps with a gun, and, you know, and she don't sleep very much, and I don't sleep at all. And you see, that summit doesn't understand authority, power, and might. So a parent of small children has power and authority. A parent of children getting bigger has authority and might. Children get outside of the house. What happens? They lose authority. Children leave the house. You see, that's tough for us parents to accept. Here all this time we've had authority and power, then it shifted authority and might. And now you're telling me I got to dump my authority? That's exactly right. And we have to understand this. You see, actually, they have become equal one. So now, as a friend, what authority do you and I have over our friends? Zippo. What a power do you have over your friends? Zippo. Of the three, what do you have over your friends? Might only. Power of influence. And so now when parents are, our children are outside the home, we are at equal footing. The only thing that we can do is use our might or power of influence. Okay, now let's step it up a little bit more. You know, I'm a grandparent. What do I have over the grandchildren? Authority? Not really. Power? Yeah, I probably could beat them up at this stage. But I wouldn't want to do that. What is my only influence I have over them? Is might.
Actually, here's what I have. I have might, but now I am under the authority of who? That child's parents. So boy, haven't we done a switch here? You see, this is a lot of the problems that we have between, you know, stuff going on. Between families, you know, in-laws. You know, the big joke about in-laws all the time. Pray for me. I'm going to go see them this week. But even at that, see, this is the problem we got to understand. Okay? And so in every area of life, you have to understand, where's your authority? Where's your power? Where's your might? Okay? In this role right now, give an example. What do I have over my father? Right now, I have authority as a pastor. I have might, but no power. Okay, what do I do if I go to his place on Tuesday, want to perform a task, want to do some work? Now, I have no authority. I have no power. I have might only. You see, why? You have to understand that in each situation. In some situation, it may be the same person where you have authority over them. In another situation, they have authority over you. And a lot of times, the fighting that goes on in jobs. You ever see a job where the son is the foreman over a dad? Wouldn't that be a booger situation? If they don't understand this difference between authority, power, and might, those two will begin to hate each other. And it usually does not work. But when a man understands the difference between these things, then it can work and they can have a good working relationship. Now, when you get into a public environment, okay, when out on a street corner, what do I have? I can use the power of the Word of God under the authority of God, but I can't force anybody to accept it. So what is basically what I'm limited to is the mighty power of God, or the might of influence. Be strong in the power of His might. Now, one slight difference here. When I'm on a public arena, but yet if I get off a public arena and get on a sidewalk and walk up to somebody's house to try to tell them about Jesus Christ, I am now under their authority because of private property. And so a lot of times people get pushy in those things because I've got the authority, this is going to be my own time, win their soul. Hey, you need to realize it is never right to do wrong in order to do right. And so we need to understand this and say, if they have the authority, they could tell me get off their land. Actually, they got the power, too, if they want to pull a gun out. You know, but even at that, the power is limited because a guy can still be, I'm going to die for Christ right here. Hit him in the head and probably ricochet. And so then you got the authority. So the thing is, get off, walk. Now, if you're on a street corner, you have power, authority as a sovereign individual of this nation to preach the Word of God publicly on public property. When a police officer comes, he thinks he's got authority and power. If you know the law, you know you've got the authority over him. Oh, he's dressed a little fancier. He's got a big stick. He's got a gun. He got a walkie-talkie. And, you know, and he can whoop you. But yet you got to be wise as serpent, as harmless as doves. And that's the point where you got wise people will try to convince that authority through meekness that you have a right to do what you're doing. If he violates your authority, then you have the just power. You have just power to use that to enforce the law against him through lawful means. Of course, we want to do it peacefully. But still, the idea is that when you understand the difference between power, authority, and might, the same in your vocation, whatever job you are in, you are under the authority of the owner. The only thing that you can do to try to influence the owner is power of influence, or other words, might. Now, if you would, let's go back to Colossians chapter 1 and see what Paul is praying for. This is probably, I would say, this is probably the one of the best understandings that you can grasp between these words, to witness to family members. One of the biggest problems we witness to family members is that we always want to, we are so zealous about what we believe, and we just want to use power to force it on them. They're going to, you know, accept it. No, no, no. The only thing you have is your might ability. And that's why you want to study and study and study until you can get it so precise, and pray and pray and pray that God will give a situation where you can give forth words with the authority of God's power, words of God's word, and then those things will be so convincing that you pray that that person will voluntarily accept the truth. Colossians 1 verse 9, here's what he's praying for. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Notice every good work. Fruitful. And increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might. Strengthened with all might. How do you get strong? Proverbs 24:5, a wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. So what does that mean? That means study, 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 study. Know the truth. Get it so precise that what you can say in precise words, and you can get it down where it's so authoritative that the person will, oh, yeah, that's right. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. The power comes from the word of God. But notice, with all patience. You see, you can't force it on people. So you got to be patient with people. And long-suffering. Notice the key word, with joyfulness. Joyfulness. You see? And what this is understanding the difference between authority, power, and might. Might is the ability to give forth the truth of God so that the listener will voluntarily accept the truth. Okay, instead of power is forcing it down on somebody. These three things are vital things of understanding. When a person understands these things, then their personal relationships with people becomes more understanding, and then you can influence people for the glory of God the way Jesus Christ wants it done. Okay, we'll stop there and pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to understand your words. I pray you'd help us to understand the differences between authority, power, and might. Help us to understand each situation, each relationship that we are a part of. Help us to grasp these things and help us to be faithful to thee. In Jesus' name, amen.